Praise the Lord. Good to see everyone this morning. And before I get into the thoughts that I've had, I just wanted to mention what has been, some of you have seen, is that new movie, The Forge, the latest Kendrick movie. How many of you have seen it? How many of you who have seen it would recommend that everybody else see it? Definitely, all of their movies have been great. This is as good as any of them they've ever had. Got some powerful, interesting scenes, but some wonderful truth. And I would highly, strongly encourage that we support it in every way. So anyway, praise God. Well, I'm glad we can look to the Lord in our weakness, because that's all I got. But I don't think I'm the only one. But He allows us to be where we need to be at any given place in our journey, and our place is to look to Him and not worry about it. Cast all of our cares upon Him and never forget that He cares. I'd like to go back to the scripture that I used last week as a starting point. And that, of course, is Matthew 11:28. There's so much truth in this, and I just pray the Lord will bring out what He wants to emphasize today. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Now, the word rest is mentioned twice in that particular in those particular verses, and it's as though that there are two forms of rest. We spent a lot of time on the first one, and I don't want to go over all of that, but just to reiterate, all of mankind is born in a state of enmity with God, separated by our sins, by our selfish nature, and we are born into a kingdom that is ruled over by evil powers that we cannot see with our natural eyes, but they're very real. And that kingdom is one of darkness and deception. And of course, part of the deception is, you know, follow your nature and you'll find what you need, and yet there's no such thing. Every one of us is born with a scratch that's way too deep to, or an itch that's too deep to scratch. And here's Jesus, sent by the Father into this broken world, offering something else, something that's real. But the implication of coming to rest is certainly one that involves reconciliation with God. It's not a matter of becoming religious so we can get something from Him to enhance our earthly life. This is a matter of coming into His purpose, leaving our allegiance to this world and all that it stands for, and becoming one with Him and coming to a place of rest where that issue is settled. That's it. There's no going back. Every bridge is burned behind me. I'm His. And there is a sense of rest. Now, it's not a matter of seeking an experience, although people's experiences do vary. But there is something that Jesus calls us to, and I'm so thankful that He uses the word give. It's been said this morning, well, there's no way we could earn any of this or deserve it. It's entirely based upon His mercy. Thank God for everything that He has done for us and all we've been singing about today. Thank the Lord. So if there's anyone here or anyone who hears this who's never really gotten that issue settled, the rest of this is not going to mean much. Folks, you got to have the issue settled. Am I His or am I the world's? Am I His or am I own? Now, being His does not mean that every issue, every practical issue in our lives is settled. We got a whole lot of changes that need to happen in us. There are going to be battles. There are going to be battles with the old nature wanting its way. That doesn't mean, those battles do not mean the basic issue is not settled. God wants us to come to a place where that's settled, now we understand there is a process to be lived out. Salvation is not something where we suddenly leap from what we are naturally to what God intends, but rather we have a purpose to live out on earth. And that's what Jesus gives us here. And it's interesting how many natural pictures we are given in Scripture of what the Christian life is about. You know, in one place, Jesus talks about the vine and the branches, and the fact that He is the vine, He has the life that we need, but we're branches meant to be connected to Him to draw out that life, and because of that life, we can produce fruit. So that's one picture. And there are others that I'm sure would come to mind. But this one pictures a relationship between us and Jesus that is meant to define our lives in ways that the Lord is kind of talking to me about a good deal this week especially. I mean, I had a lot of this in my mind last week, and it wasn't the time. The Lord did exactly what he was supposed to in that service. But there is something that's meant to be real and daily and practical in this that I want to get in a deeper way. And I believe the Lord wants us to get it, because on the one hand, He gives us rest, but He's talking about finding rest. You see, there's a deeper, more practical aspect of this rest that He wants us to find in our practical experience. Anybody here need more of that? Yeah, we all do. Because our natural inclination, our habits, our ways of thinking are all geared to trying to get something out of this world to satisfy whatever it is that we think we need. And, you know, we're told that we need to be transformed, changed. How? By the renewing of our minds. We don't think right. And God wants us to think in harmony with the simple truth that He is portraying here. And we did point out a little of this last week, but I want to try to see if the Lord can't enlarge this just a bit and paint a clearer picture. Now, He uses the word, take my yoke. And we know what a yoke is. It's usually a wooden bar of some kind that is meant to connect two animals. I guess they could be horses or cattle or whatever they are. But there are two animals who are connected, and they're connected so they can share a job. There's a reason. It's not just, okay, let's connect them. And that's the whole purpose. There's a job that's meant to be done. There's a purpose. There's a farmer who connects them because there's something that needs doing that requires them working together in order to accomplish that. And there's something in that picture that I believe God wants us to understand in a deeper way. Now, He says, take my yoke. There are a lot of truths that we've heard over the years, and I believe the Lord wants to connect the dots. He's connecting them for me in a deeper way. But anyway, my yoke. We know that Jesus, of course, in the first place, He's the Son of God. Before the world was, it was the Father through Him did everything. He was the Creator. He was the one we see through the Old Testament. He was the one who came finally as a little baby, humbled Himself to live as a man among us, to live in many ways an ordinary life for most of his life, but to fulfill a purpose. God sent Him with a particular job to do, and we know that He was not alone in doing it, was He? In the first place, it wasn't something that He chose. It was, I didn't come to do my will, I came to do the will of the one who sent me. So what He was to do was entirely a matter of His surrendering to the purpose of another, laying down any will that He might have had, and being willing to fully cooperate and be an expression of the Father's will and purpose. Thank God, or we wouldn't have it, we wouldn't be here. We'd have no hope. But oh, what a God of love and mercy that we've been singing about today. Thank God for that love that characterizes everything that He does toward us. Praise God. So anyway, but it was my yoke. Now remember that Jesus, even in doing what He did, He was not able in Himself to do it. He says, I can by myself do what? Nothing. So do you see that there was a living, active connection between the Son and the Father in order to do what the Son was sent to earth to do? There was a purpose to be fulfilled, but yet, in a sense, you could say there was a yoke, couldn't you? He was yoked to the Father in everything that he did, so that it was the Father's purpose that he was willingly giving himself to, and between the two of them, the purpose was accomplished. So do you see that picture there? And we know that Jesus, before he left the earth and his work was finished here, he said to his disciples, "As the Father has sent me, so send I you." Now remember, he also said, these are scriptures we've used many times, "The works that I do, I don't do by myself. Rather, it's the Father in me doing what?" Whose work? His work. The Father is in me doing his work. So that's the nature of the relationship that accomplished a purpose of God that gives us hope and reason to be here this morning. Thank God for it. And so we know that as a result of that, he was given a name that is above every name. He was elevated to what is pictured as a throne. I don't think he's sitting on a chair somewhere. But nonetheless, he's literally in a place of authority under the Father, but over everything else. But that purpose is not just to sit there and say, "Wow, look at me." There's still a job that is being done. He was sent up there to gather a kingdom. Remember, he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. I will." And the Father said, "All the Father gives me will come to me." These are scriptures, again, that I just want to tie into what I'm saying. And so the purpose for which he was, for which he exists, if you want to put it that way, is still going on. Yes, the cross was a finished work. The foundation was laid. But there is a building that is being built on that foundation. We who know him are part of that building. And so God is doing something that is going on right here in our midst today. And it involves everyone who knows him. Okay? And so, but here's the question. How is Jesus doing what he is doing? Is he just sitting there and issuing vague commands about this and that and the other? Or does he live in us and work through us? Do you see the connection? The Father and Son walk together, yoked together, according to a single purpose. The Son was totally yielded to his Father. Do you see what God has called us to? To be so connected to Jesus, literally, that our lives are defined by that relationship, and it's not just some vague thing that we read in a theology book. This is not just truth that we somehow acknowledge and come and sing about, and then we go about our lives. This is meant to define our day-to-day living. I am here for one purpose and one purpose only, is to do the Father's will. And in order for me to do that, he has connected me with Jesus. Jesus is not just some vague idea or some person off somewhere. He is meant to be real. How many times have we said this is not about religion, it's about relationship? And the Lord wants us to be able to get up in the morning and have a sense, I am connected with him. The purpose for which I am here on earth is to walk with him and to fulfill the purpose for which I have been designed and sent forth. His kingdom is being built, but I'm a part of that. Every member of the body of Christ is a part of that. Now, when we think about the Lord working through us and being ministers in that sense, we think of public ministry of some kind. I've got to get up in front of the people and be able to teach or talk or do something. But I believe with all of my heart, God wants us to have a deeper sense that whatever the purpose of your life is, whether you think it's spiritual or not, is a part of his purpose and the building of his kingdom. For years, Jesus, he grew up and he was a boy who submitted to his parents. He grew up and he learned obedience by the things he suffered, we're told in Hebrews. He was a carpenter for years. I mean, think about that. We can just say, oh yeah, for however many years he was a carpenter every day. But years and months and months and years go by, and there he is still just waiting God's time. But his being the kind of a person that God intended him to be and doing carpentry work was God's purpose for his life at that time. If we understood as we ought to understand, there is no such thing as a separation of the spiritual and the natural. Jesus was a carpenter. And yet that was the spiritual call that God had on his life at the time, and walking with the Father meant being a good carpenter and being a certain kind of a person. I don't care what your call and place in life is, we need to see ourselves as vessels, as vehicles for God, for Jesus to live in us before the world and to do his work. If you are a wife and mother, you have no idea how important that is. But God wants you to see that as a ministry that he has defined. Does God have a purpose for every life? Yes, he does. And we think, oh, if I'm not doing something spiritual, then it's just a bunch of natural stuff going on, big deal. Yes, it is a big deal. You know, Paul was not just an apostle and preacher. He was a tent maker. That's how he supported himself. And you read at one point, I believe it was in Corinth, he went there and somehow he met two Jews, Priscilla and Aquila, a couple that had been kicked out of Rome by the emperor. Get rid of all the Jews, we don't want them around anymore. But they were tent makers, and so basically they spent their days together. Well, I'll tell you, Priscilla and Aquila wound up being some pretty important people in the kingdom of God, didn't they? That relationship was not just, oh, let's make good tents and make a lot of money. There was a spiritual overtone to everything they did. So that he wasn't just a tent maker, he was God's tent maker. You think of somebody like, well, her name is in two different languages, Tabitha or Dorcas, depending on which language you go by. But you remember how she was living, was it Joppa? I can't remember. But anyway, somewhere along in there, thank you. And Peter was nearby, and she died. And so they called for Peter, and he came over, and the widows of that community were weeping, because showing him all the clothes that she had made. Now, you don't think about making clothes for people in need as being something spiritual. It was. She made an impact. She used whatever God's gifts were in her life to serve God and to allow Christ to live in her. And she made an impact on that community. And God used it. Now, he did something unusual. He raised her from the dead, and a lot of the community came to the Lord. But I'll tell you what, God is absolutely, and Christ is absolutely building his kingdom. There's going to come a time when it'll be done. Every knee will bow. Every enemy will be under his feet, and he will hand this kingdom off over to God, and God will ultimately be all in all, and everything will be resolved. But we are part of that. That means your everyday life, if you're a teacher, if you're a carpenter, a bricklayer, or whatever you are a part of that, and God wants to absolutely walk with us and realize that the purpose for which we live, we think about it as ordinary. That doesn't matter. I just do my job. No, how do you do your job? What kind of a spirit do we have? What emanates from our being, from our spirits, that touches other people? God is going to plant you where you need to be and doing what you need to be. Don't you look down on that and think it's unimportant or unspiritual or natural and all the things that we tend to, how we characterize things. God help us to realize that every day we are meant to get up and have a relationship with the Lord. And how easy is it, because we don't see him or touch him, to reduce that to duties and activities that we're supposed to do? Okay, I read my Bible, I said my prayers, and now I'm going to go to my real life. and just hope the Lord's with me and hope he's watching. My God, what an empty, weak relationship. There's no relationship there. Imagine if a husband and wife who were married on paper, and every day all they had to go by, they would get up and read about the wife and about the husband and their relationship, and they would just sort of think about it a little bit, and then they would put it away, and they would go about their day and never, ever interact with each other. They'd have a relationship on paper that didn't mean anything. The Lord wants us to realize that every one of us has a purpose that matters, that has eternal ramifications, that he wants to live with us, in us, walk with us, and that what we do will matter in eternity. And I don't care what it is, what sort of a role you have in this world, it matters to him. Praise God. I'll tell you, what an awesome Savior we have. But now it's interesting that he says to take my yoke. See, this is not just something where he dumps it on us. He's looking for a willing participant in his purpose, where we reach out to him. We realize why we're called to the kingdom, the fact that we are called, the fact that we can't do anything in ourselves, and we need him and we want him. And we want a living relationship, not just something that's on paper. And so every day there's this sense, Lord, you've called me to walk with you today. You've called me to be conscious that I need you and that you're with me and that we together are here to accomplish something. I need to do my part, but I know that as I do, you're going to be doing yours. I can count on that. You got all the strength that both of us need, really, when you think about it. But think about the picture that he's painting there. God has a purpose. He has connected you with Jesus in whatever avenue of life to which he has called you, and yet we need to get up in the morning and walk with him with a consciousness. Lord, I want to do your will today. I want to be alert, aware. I need you to show me your way and help me. You think he's willing to do that? Praise God. I don't know, I sense this because it's so easy, as I say, to just go through the form. And this is not a matter of seeking a feeling. I don't know that he's with me because I feel something, I gotta work it up and then I'm okay. I know it because of who he is. He has a way of revealing himself way deeper than just superficial emotions. I know he's real. I may not feel him in my current circumstance, but I know that he's real. And what the Lord is wanting us to take away from this is the reality that whatever he sets before us, whether it has to do with external circumstances, the difficulties of life, whatever burdens he lays before us, we are never, ever alone. Never, ever alone. He is always there to share that load, whether we feel like it or not. And he wants us to find a measure of rest in that. You see, the rest comes, the more we learn to agree with him, the more we learn to submit to him and say, Lord, I want your will. I need your strength. I'm exactly what you say I am, but I know you love me and I know you're with me. When we live with that and we're looking to him, there's a strength that we can tap into that is there. And we're going to find out we're not alone, because he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. Praise God. What a picture this is. But a lot of what I've been thinking about is this. It's not just my outward purpose to represent the kingdom of God and to allow his life to flow through me. It is that. But it has everything to do with my character and the needs of my character. Because God is not calling us to be people who are resentful and duty-bound and all of those, all of that kind of a, an approach to this whole thing, as though, well, this is what I got to do. I'd really be rather be doing something else and doing pleasing myself, but oh, I guess I got to do this. God is looking for a wholehearted agreement with him. I need him to do that in me. I need what Paul says, for it is God who works in you to will and to do, because there are times when my will is kind of kicking up. The Lord will bring me down a pathway that reminds me of a need in my character. Now, do you think the Lord does that because he hates us? Does he do that because he wants us to feel bad and be discouraged? Or does he want us to get the truth about ourselves? You know, one of the things that he tells us to do, or he speaks about, is speaking the truth in love. I need someone who can tell me the truth, who's willing to shoot straight, as we say, and not make it, try to make me feel better because it isn't quite as bad. No, he needs to be able to shoot straight. But I'll tell you the thing, when he does, it's love. It's grace. It's mercy. Thank God for the character of the one who calls me to walk with him. He's not some sort of a self-centered, dominion-seeking character who's looking to just use me for his purposes, and he doesn't really care about me. It's all about bringing me to a place where I can enjoy everything that God has purposed in all eternity. But to do that, he's got to deal with me. He's got to deal with you too. And there are a whole lot of things that still want to hold on to us and have their influence. And a big part of walking with him is going to have to be confronting things. Because, you know, what kind of a person does God want us to be? Completely humble? Sure. Completely, you know, loving and putting up with one another and forgiving one another and all of these characteristics that just absolutely are totally foreign to our nature. Boy, do I need help. If that's going to happen in me, I'm going to have strength that I don't have. But guess what? This is not someone who's sitting way up in heaven shouting down at me, do this, do that, and don't do the other. And if you don't, I'm going to be so disappointed in you. This is somebody who's walking right alongside me. We're yoked together. And what he wants me to do is to humble myself to that. But not just to humble myself, but to humble myself with an expectation that even this thing that I'm having to face in me that's so strong, I'm not alone in that either. There's somebody who has faced everything that I could ever face in human nature, understands the problems, knows how to help me, and is willing, more than willing to help me, to the point of going to the cross in my place. I got somebody who I can learn from. Do you see why he says, learn from me? Anybody here need to, facing something in your life and you say, I don't understand. How do I handle it? I just don't get this, Lord. Oh God, I'm in such a weak place. Please help me. And yet he says, learn from me. And how often do we, when we face those times, do we feel like the Lord is somewhere off? He's not right there. But God wants us to understand he's right there. We're connected to him. There is a living relationship where I can talk to him and look to him. Well, what about the character of the one? I mean, this is somebody so great. How in the world can I talk to somebody that great about me, poor little old me, and all that's wrong with me? Oh, poor me. Listen to what he says. Learn from me, for I am mean and demanding. Oh, wait. He says, I am gentle and humble in heart. How could somebody who spoke galaxies in existence put up with me and be humble enough to walk with me, somebody like me, deal with everything that's wrong, and still be gentle about it? My God, what a gospel we have. What an amazing Savior that we have. Oh, praise God. Praise the Lord. Anybody need the Lord to be gentle with you today? Yeah. And there he is saying, I know where you're at. I know what's wrong with you. I know how to get you from here to there. You just need to walk with me. And when you face an issue, I need you to agree with me about it in the first place. Don't fight it and say, oh, no, I'm not really that bad. Yes, you are. So am I. But yet there's one who took me to the cross, and he wants me to constantly go back to that foundation. But look, he's already put me to death. I don't have to listen to that. I do not have to allow that to rule over me. But where do I get the strength to do that? Oh, God, I'm going to try. No, there's somebody walking beside me with all of the strength that I need, who's sharing that burden. Whatever it is you're feeling, whatever it is you're going through, there's somebody walking beside you sharing that burden so that you're able to move forward. Pull that cart, pull that plow, whatever picture you have in your mind. Oh, thank God. God wants us to realize we're never alone, not just some doctrinal thing where it's vague. See, this is not some deal like a kid who has an invisible imaginary friend. This is not something where we just imagine this whole thing so we can feel better about ourselves. He's real. And for anyone who opens their heart and reaches out to him, he knows how to make himself real on the inside and to give us strength that we do not possess. Praise God. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. You know, I thought about one scripture. I'll just go ahead and refer to it because it goes all the way back to Exodus. You remember how the Israelites were certainly a strange bunch, unbelievers, most of them. And they had come out of Egypt and they had gone to the Mount Sinai, and Moses had gone up into the mountain to meet with the Lord and was there 40 days. And you remember what happened while he was up there? The people figured something had happened to him and they needed some help, so they were going to do what the heathen did. We got to make us gods. We got to make us a golden calf. Bow down to that and let's have a heathen celebration here. And he came down, and boy, the Lord had to deal with that in no uncertain terms. Boy, the people were wondering, my God, what's going to happen? He said, I'm not even going to go with you. I'm going to send my angel. If I went with you, I might kill you. I mean, you think about the impact upon the people. But then Moses, it talks about the fact, and this is Exodus 33, beginning of verse 7. I'll just refer to some of it. There was a tent beside the tabernacle. There was a tent, and it was called the Tent of Meeting, and it was a place where Moses went to meet with the Lord. And it even says that they spoke face to face like a man would with his friend. What an amazing relationship there was there. Moses didn't even want to do this to start with, you remember? Here am I, send somebody else. And yet the Lord had brought him through. But boy, he's in a tough place right now. And so in verse 12, it says, Moses said to the Lord, you have been telling me, lead these people, but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. You have said, I know you by name. You have found favor with me. If you are pleased with me, teach me your ways so I may know you and continue to find favor with you. What an amazing prayer when you think about that. Oh, Lord, and remember that this nation is your people. I want you to teach me your ways, and I want to know you. Do you think that's kind of central to living for the Lord? Because we don't know. There's so much we don't know that we think we know. I need every day to learn something from the Lord, and He's very willing to teach everyone who reaches out to Him. I need to have that kind of a heart where, oh Lord, I want You to teach me Your ways. And think of what Paul said was the motivating factor in his life. He said, that I may know You, that I may know Him, and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable to His death. Praise the Lord, that I might know anyway. You remember the scripture in was it Philippians 3? But anyway, there's this sense, Lord, I don't want to just know about You. This is not just a religion to practice. There's a relationship where I can literally draw strength from You. You can walk with me through life. I'm a part of an eternal purpose. There's a reason that I'm here. It matters. But You are right here to walk with somebody like me and somebody like You. I don't care what you're going through right now, whether there's some outward difficulty in your life, whether you're having to face something in your nature that is a struggle to you. God wants every one of His children today to realize that if we will wake up to what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 11 and look to Him and saying, Lord, You have called me to a relationship where You and I are connected. And we're not connected so that You're going to come help me fulfill my purpose. The connection is meant for me to join You in fulfilling the Father's purpose. And when I feel my lack of strength, which is all the time, I always need to remember, You're right there. And when I remember that, I can look to You and I can find, oh, guess what? Rest. Because I realize life is not dependent upon my ability, my strength, my worthiness, my anything is dependent on Him. To Him be the glory forever and ever. My yoke, He says, is easy and my burden is light. The thing that makes it easy and light is not that the burden itself is so easy, it's that He's right there. So whatever you're going through today, if you're His, you need to lift up your eyes, look to Him, and don't ever forget that He's right there. And if there's an issue, if there's something you're struggling with, and you know you need to lay down, you need to repent, you need to come clean, He'll help you do that too. That's what He's looking for. He's not upset with you. He's humble and gentle. Get that? We need to get through our heads. We have a humble, gentle Savior who walks with His people to fill in all the gaps in our lives, to give us purpose, to give us meaning, to give us hope and a future. And all the promises that we have when we finish our course in this world, we're going to stand with Him in white, and we're going to look down, look back, at least for a little while, because we'll forget it all eventually. We're going to look back and remember what an awesome Savior. There are going to be times when we'll look back and we'll see, like the footsteps in the sand. The most difficult time of life was when there was only one set of footprints, and that was because You were carrying me. And how many times is He right there, and I'm not conscious of that? I'm just doing my thing. I'm thinking about this. I'm struggling. I'm full of anxiety. Do you see any room for anxiety in this scripture, in this picture that He's painting? Does He want us to be upset and anxious and oh my God, I can't do this and I can't do that. Something's wrong. Just living in that kind of a state. And if He's not telling us something definite to do, can't we just rest and look to Him every day and do what comes to hand and just trust Him? Jesus had to do that for how many years, waiting on the Father's purpose and His time? Just being a good carpenter, having favor with God and man? Why don't we just learn to rest in Him a lot more than we do? But do it with a conscious sense. Lord, I want to be right where You want me to be, and I'm not going to strive. I'm not going to be anxious about it, but I sure am going to ask. But having asked, I'm going to trust You, because You say if anyone asks, lacks wisdom, what are we supposed to do? Ask Him. But we need to ask Him with a heart that's committed to walking in the wisdom He gives us. not to be double-minded and say, well, you tell me what you think, Lord, and I'll decide. We need to decide ahead of time, Lord, whatever you say goes, because I know you love me. I know you're with me. I'll tell you, to God be the glory. What an awesome Savior we have. Humble, gentle in heart. May God give us the grace to, whatever our station in life, I got to come back to that just briefly. Whatever your station in life, don't look down upon it as unimportant. It matters. Wherever God has placed you matters. If you're fixing cars or working on property and planting stuff and cutting stuff down and building stuff or teaching or whatever it is, if you're just in the home, maintaining a home, your place is right there. God's purpose and plan for your life matters. You matter to Him. And whatever the difficulties are that arise, don't ever forget for one moment, thank you, Jesus, you're right here. You've never called for me to do this in my own strength. You're right here, and together we will do what God has called us to do, us to do. Because He's still fulfilling God, the Father's purpose. He's just doing it through us. It's still happening. I'll tell you, to God be the glory. What a kingdom to which He's called us. May God be the glory.